Welcome back, students, and those of you who have listened to the show before. I'm glad you're still with me. If this is the first time you're listening, thank you. I hope you'll be back. I'm D.A. Arliss, welcoming you to episode 046 of the Guitar Technique Tutor podcast, recorded on July 11th, 2011. My goal as a guitarist and instructor with decades of experience is to raise the quality of my students and all guitarists' playing level and understanding. So here I am, doing my part to spread the excellence, one guitarist at a time. First and foremost, I want to say happy birthday today to one of my closest friends, Donna. She isn't a guitarist, and I'm not even sure if she listens to the podcast, but if you do, Donna, have a great day. I already wished you a happy birthday on Facebook, and I'll probably give you a call later. And I want to say that the Guitar Technique Tutor podcast has passed its first podiversary. July 6th, 2010 was when the first show was recorded. Since then, there have been a few changes and engineering improvements, I hope. I will be continuously modifying this show when the need or desire arises, and I thank all of you who have been with me for the year. I appreciate you giving me some time every week or whenever it is you listen to the podcast. Let's see. On the guitar front, over the past 2 weeks, a new student, Mike, joined my schedule. Welcome, Mike. Two Saturdays ago, we went guitar shopping, and Mike went home with a beautiful Martin acoustic electric. He had his first lesson last week, and I'm looking forward to seeing him and hearing how he did over this past week. I'm sure he's been practicing, and I'll be seeing him tomorrow. So the verdict on his first lesson is in. It was great. Now the second lesson tells me a lot. And new student Amber joined my schedule too. Amber's dad plays guitar, and she is using one of his guitars as her first guitar. Amber's already written some songs, and I think learning to play the guitar is going to complement her already evident artistic expression. She's had her first lesson, and she and her family went away on a mini vacation yesterday and probably won't be home until Tuesday or Wednesday. Now, her lesson was last Thursday, and she will have another lesson this coming Thursday. So this first week, she will not have had much of an opportunity to practice, but she had a few days before she took off, and we'll see how she did. This week, there are two students in the student spotlight. News is about the PRS Ultimate Meet and Greet 2011. The question of the week is about using the left-hand thumb on the fretboard, and Take Note is about composite fretboards. Well, let's see. It's a really hot day. The window is open. I haven't yet kicked the air conditioning on, so if you hear a little bit of nature sound, that's unavoidable. I'll do my best to keep the show as quiet as I can, or with the least amount of extraneous noise. The E-man is out of the apartment doing something that's going to take a little while, and so I want to wind up this intro and get right into this week's student spotlight. If all goes well, this whole show will be recorded before the E-man returns and before he has to tiptoe around, which he's not fond of doing, but he does it for love, which is a good thing. So without further ado, let's move over to the student spotlight. In the warm glow of the student spotlight this week, there are two students, Arno and Lanny. Realize my schedule is a bit reduced, and the students who are around are not on a quote-unquote normal schedule like Amber, I just mentioned. Some people aren't always, aren't actually away, but are missing various days of practice throughout the week, so that makes it hard to really excel at what you're doing. And some people are away and just coming back, or they're taking short getaway trips without their guitars. So a low number in the spotlight for the next month or so will not be very unusual. Arno has been playing a little over a year and is making superb progress and is working hard. He works in Manhattan, has a family, and he still usually finds time to practice and progress very well each week. That is an impressive commitment. Lanny has had only 3 lessons and is remarkably perceptive and intuitive and is doing fabulously. So great work, the two of you. Keep it up. And now let's move on to the question of the week. This week's question is from Arno, the bat guy, for those of you who have been listening to the podcast from the beginning and frequently spotlighted student. He's playing a song in which playing a low F with the thumb is what is suggested. The chord change is from an open position, open E, F major 7 chord, to a traditional open position C chord. He asked if it's okay to use his thumb for the low F. The notation of the chord progression or chord change in this arpeggio will be up on the show notes page if you want to take a look. I have never been a user nor a fan of left-hand thumbs playing anything. I think it compromises the dexterity and movement and attack of all your other fingers. I think it probably over the long haul isn't the greatest thing for all of your left hand, and I just don't do it. In the music I customarily play, I've never been confronted with a suggested thumb bass note that I could not work around. And this question falls into that same category. If you take a look at the music, which is up on the website, I'm going to just run through this and give you a general idea if you're not looking at it. Personally, I would sacrifice the tie to C ringing through the arpeggio and use my pinky to play the E closed on the B string rather than wrapping my thumb around to hold a low F. So I'd play a full bar at the first fret with the addition of F on the D string and A on the G string. I would pick low F, then the A I'm holding, then the F on the D string I'm holding, then the C I'm holding in the bar, and that C gets tied, so it's going to ring a double length of time. Then I'd reach my pinky to the E on the B string and play E, and then finish the arpeggio with the F on the D string and the A on the G string, just the way it's written. The small sacrifice of the C's sound when the E is played is totally inconsequential in this case. It already sounded twice as long as the other notes because of the tie, and the listener's ear is still hearing it. The brain is a wonderful thing. For example, if you play a 1-4-5-7, by that I mean a dominant 7 chord progression, and suddenly stop, if you have lived in Western culture, which means not Asia, your whole life, you hear the one chord resolving that dominant 7 chord even before you play it. Your brain is going to do the same thing with this C that's not ringing through the arpeggio when you play the not open E, but the E on the B string and the F and the A. So I told Arno he may use his thumb for the chord change, but to be cognizant of any wrist or left hand strain. I told him he may, mainly because I think he would whether I assented or not. So I'm just going to let him do it. I'm also not absolutely sure he could make the stretch to E. So in the interest of him enjoying what he's playing, I agreed. But let me make it perfectly clear for the record, I do not recommend playing anything with the thumb of your left hand. It compromises the attack of all your other fingers. I have never seen an upside to it. So stretch your fingers, stretch your brain and think. Try to find a workaround, and unless you feel you have no options, I would never recommend you play your thumb playing a bass note on the low E string. If you have a question you'd like me to address in this podcast, please email it to guitartechnique@gmail.com. Please notice no tutor in the email address, and I will spell it guitartechnique@gmail.com. And if I use your question, I will contact you and I will be delighted to send you a Guitar Technique Tutor podcast pick for having taken the trouble. Now let's move on to this week's news. The news this week is from Paul Reed Smith Guitars. And those of you who have listened for a while know I have an affinity for PRS guitars. They're beautifully made. They're well-crafted. There's nothing I can say bad about them. I don't own one, but if you are in the market for a high-end electric guitar, I would like you strongly to consider PRS. They have something for everybody. And what their announcement about their Ultimate Meet and Greet 2011 sweepstakes is that they've announced that they're going to be giving their fans the chance to win a trip for two to attend a concert and meet and greet with acclaimed PRS artists Carlos Santana, Warren Haynes, Dweezil Zappa, Tim Mahoney, Davey Knowles, and Eli Young. In celebration of PRS's growing product line, PRS has paired each one of these six artists with one of the product families they support. This gives enthusiasts the unique opportunity to meet the artist and see PRS gear in action. This is a contest that spans a lot of genres, so if these artists are ones that you have an affinity for, or you're a PRS owner and would like to participate in the sweepstakes just because, or if you're a guitarist who's just interested in this, you can enter these sweepstakes. Here's where I put the disclaimer. If you are under 18 years old, please consult your parents and don't do anything or give anyone any information that your parents are not aware of. There is no purchase required for this sweepstakes, according to the official rules, so you might want to take a look and read over the rules at the PRS website. I will link to the sweepstakes on my show notes page. And you never know. And if you are a listener and you do win this sweepstakes, please let me know. I would like to mention it, that a listener has won. I won't use your name unless you want me to. I imagine it'll be on the PRS website anyway. So that wraps it up for this week's news. Let's move along to the Take Notes segment. Note topic this week is about fretboards. And before I go any further, I have to make a disclaimer. When I was a younger musician, I referred to the fretboard as the fingerboard, as did luthiers and guitar builders, and many of them still do. Lately, it has sort of fallen out of guitar parlance favor to call what I call a fingerboard, and it's a preferred term to call it a fretboard. I guess the small distinction would be, if you're really a purist, that a fretboard is a fretted fingerboard, and a fingerboard is fretless, like on a fretless bass or an acoustic bass or violin or cello. With that said, I will do my best to continue to refer to the fretboard as a fretboard. However, if I say fingerboard, I'm talking about the same thing. It's really a hard thing in my brain to reassign a word after using the word fingerboard for decades, but I'm going to do my best. It's good for my brain to have this discipline. Anyway, the reason I'm talking about fretboards is that when I was assisting my new student, Mike, buying his Martin, the tech at the shop was kind enough to put a fresh set of strings on for us. Side note, of course they were DRs. That's what we requested, or I should say I requested, and Mike acquiesced to my choice. Anyway, so while... And the tech was nice enough to invite us into the back where, while he was doing what he had to do to the Martin, we were chatting about a variety of things. And one of them was the newer composite fretboards. I don't own any new guitars. My newest one is about 20 years old, perhaps a little bit younger. I could be probably as specific as to tell you the date I purchased it, if I weren't referring to the only one of my guitars that I purchased used, and it was a great deal, but I digress. The fretboards of all of my guitars are ebony or rosewood, and I don't own a composite fretboard guitar. So that's the preface for this. And if you're a purist like I am and you're guitar shopping, you will come across guitars with composite carbon or graphite fretboards. Do not think they are a cheap cost-cutting ploy by guitar builders. I don't honestly know how composite fretboards compare to the cost of rosewood or ebony. I know they're not as endangered of being, I don't know, hard to come by. I wouldn't say extinct, but hard to come by. These fine woods are prized and hard to harvest, and I'm not even going to go into the green issue or the saving the planet issue here. I'm setting that aside. You may, for those reasons, want only a composite fretboard, and you might want only a non-wood guitar. That's up to you. I'm just going in my direction. I can tell you, though, that there are composites that offer much more stability for the fretboard in varying humidities and temperatures. It also... The composite fretboard, that is, does not absorb oils or perspiration from your fingertips. Therefore, it's easier to clean and requires much less care. Not being a luthier, I don't know, but I can only surmise that the composite is made in such a way that it actually holds the fret wire just as securely, if not more securely, than the woods that have been traditionally used. So I want to draw your attention to the fact of composite fretboards, and if you're guitar shopping, do your research about the brands you may be encountering in your price range, and if some of those companies use composite, look into what the composite is, what it's made out of, go on some forums and see how people who have both wood and composite fretboards compare them, and in the absence of a genuine wood fretboard, I want to counsel you, don't let the fact of a composite fretboard be the deal breaker if everything else about the guitar is right and if the particular composite the particular company is using has no negative issues or known problems. Like everything, you need to know. I mean, what one company uses as a composite and what another company uses as a composite may not be the same. They might be equally good. One might be great. One might be terrible. So you've got to do your research on this. I'm not doing that for you, but I just want to draw your attention to the composites that are now used for fretboards can be a real plus in maintaining your guitar and in the way, the lack of maintenance that you have to do, as well as the stability for your frets, especially in dry weather, if you have or a dry environment, if you have a little bit of neck shrinkage, to know those frets aren't going to be sticking out of the fretboard on the sides the way they do when your guitar gets dehydrated often in the winter. That's a really good thing. So don't dismiss a potential guitar that you will be purchasing because it has a composite fretboard. That about wraps it up for this week's segments of 046. So let's move along to the outro. Welcome, Amber and Mike. I know you're both going to do very well as guitar students and working on your way through mastering the guitar. Congratulations, Arno and Lanny. You both excelled over the past 2 weeks. Keep up the good work. Check out the PRS Ultimate Meet and Greet 2011 rules, and if you're so inclined, you may win a meet and greet and concert tickets and a trip to hear Carlos Santana or Warren Haynes or Dweezil Zappa or Tim Mahoney or Davy Knowles or Eli Young. Read the rules carefully. They state that there is no purchase necessary. The most important aspect of technique on the guitar involves the verticality of the left-hand fingertips as they strike the strings. Everything you do that compromises that verticality or near verticality will compromise speed, clarity of tone, and your general dexterity. So be careful if you decide to use a thumb to play bass notes. Composite fretboards are a good technical advancement in guitar building. Don't shy away from a guitar that has one. This is where I want to add a little note about my guitartechniquetutor.com website. It's going to be undergoing a bit of a facelift, as it does most summers. And therefore, if you visit, you might find a broken link here or there. Please do alert me if that occurs. I am in the process of reworking it, it's going to have a change all at once, but I'm working on buttons, I'm working on a new layout, I'm working on a new cascading style sheet, and other things offline. So when I put them up, I'm hoping to do it all in one day, I hope. So you may come across a somewhat less good housekeeping, let's put it that way, less good housekeeping on the site over the coming month. I'm hoping to have this done by the end of July. It may go into August. So if you stop by the website and it's your first visit and some link doesn't work, I apologize, but it could just be that I'm in the midst of testing something or working on the site and somehow a file has been misplaced or mislabeled or something like that. Okay? Students and valued listeners, I want to thank you once again for your time and for joining me for episode 046 of the Guitar Technique Tutor podcast. It's been a great first year. I hope you heard something thought-provoking, instructional, and/or entertaining. I will include links to anything I mentioned that I think you might like to explore further in the show notes. Don't forget that my website is guitartechniquetutor.com, all spelled traditionally. I'll do it one time. Here goes. GuitarTechniqueTutor.com. And you can reach me by email at guitartechnique@gmail.com. Please note there is no tutor in the email address. Don't hesitate to email me your questions for the Question of the Week segment, and if I use your question, I will be delighted to send you a Guitar Technique Tutor podcast pick. You can follow me on Twitter, where I'm Guitar Technique. I'm not a tweeting maniac. I tweet to update anyone following me and retweet what I think is interesting. On my homepage and on the podcast page of my website, you'll find links to subscribe to the podcast in a variety of ways and or to subscribe to the show notes by email or reader. iTunes is the handy way to get my podcast. And when I made a switch of my software for the computer, and I upgraded all of my software that is involved in my web design as well as recording this podcast, I believe FeedBurner dropped the old episodes. They're all on my website, and I'm pretty sure they're all available through iTunes. So if you're trying to go back and listen and you didn't know what I was referring to when I called Arno the Bat Guy, that's all on the archive pages at the podcast page of guitartechniquetutor.com. So you can always find them there. If you're seeking expert, competent guitar instruction in the Bergen and Rockland County towns in which I teach, such as Airmont, Allendale, Fairlawn, Franklin Lakes, Glen Rock, Hawthorne, Ohokus, Hilburn, Mahwa, Midland Park, Montvale, Oradell, Paramus, Park Ridge, Ramsey, Ridgewood, River Edge, Saddle River, Suffern, Tallman, Teaneck, Tuxedo, Upper Saddle River, Waldwick, Washington Township, Westwood, Woodcliff Lake, or Wyckoff, please contact me. For lesson inquiries, calling is best and my number is on the website. If we can coordinate our schedules and you're a good candidate to learn to play the guitar, perhaps we can work together. Practice, have a great week, and until next time, I'm your host, D.A. Arliss, doing my part to spread the excellence one guitarist at a time.